Today, we're going to talk about prayer. And prayer is kind of a big thing. Sometimes it's really good to just think about prayer and just kind of think about how amazing this is, especially as a follower of Jesus and understanding that, just take this in. We have the God of all, that because of Jesus, He encourages us. We've been brought into the place that we actually can come right before Him without any shame or without any condemnation. And then when we get before Him, we don't have to spin anything. We don't have to say anything differently. We say the more raw we talk about what's really going on inside of us and share our heart, the more He loves that, right? And as we do that, we're at the spot in which that we get, then we, as we pray, we get forgiveness and truth and comfort, His presence, cleansing, revelation, instruction. And then this wild thing happens in prayer, is that we're before God, and not only we are connecting to Him and Him connecting to us, and we're going through these different things, we get to ask Him for things, the God of the universe. And we ask Him, and actually things happen that wouldn't have happened unless we ask Him. Get your mind around that one for a while, right? Prayer is a pretty important thing. And what's interesting is, I know this about prayer, and I know it actually experientially. If you took my journals, which you couldn't read, but I can, you can look at my journals, and when I die, my journals are going to go burn them. I can't figure them out. But anyway, so they're like encrypted because I can't spell right. So it's just like, phew, you know. So, but if God would give you revelation to read my journals, you'd be able to actually say, oh my gosh, everything in here, there's this thread. It's all about prayer, right? So even experientially, I know, wow, this is amazing. But let me get honest here. There's nothing in my walk with Jesus that's more difficult for me than prayer. I'm growing in it, but I'm telling you, I even know it's good. I even believe it in my heart. I've even experienced how powerful it is, but I'll tell you, I don't know how many times I lose track in prayer. You guys know what I mean? Come on, get honest. You guys know what I mean? You get going and all of a sudden you drift. You forget. You neglect. It doesn't happen. You just find yourself going for lots of times and not praying. You know, there's this Pew Research did a study on frequency of prayer, and you know, daily prayer, 68% say they pray daily, and the rest it kind of goes down from there, right, from all the different times. Now, there's other studies that show you this. The people who answer surveys on prayer lie. They exaggerate all the time because they feel like, oh, I should pray more, right? And so even when you look at how much, if you start looking at other studies of how much you pray, it's not a very encouraging picture. And what's hard is I actually understand that, because I find sometimes prayer being really hard as well. And so as we look at this, I think of this place of communicating with God is you know, prayer is, if you simplify it, it's personal communication with God. And that can be a lot of things, right? It can be coming to God, it can be yielding to God, it can be a place of confession or repentance, it can be a place of asking questions and counsel and all kinds of different things, right? But there's this one thing we're going to focus in on today, is this thing of asking, right? Asking God for things directly. Going to the God of the universe and saying, I need this and I want you to do this. So before we think about God so much, let's just ask a question about just how do you do with asking? So you don't have to answer out loud. You don't have to tell anybody next to you. I want you to be kind of noodling on this question, these questions, on this place of, you know, how good are you at asking for what you need, and what keeps you from asking what you need? Now, I know my experience won't be the same as everybody else's experience, but I want to answer that question honestly, and then maybe in that answer you can say, oh, I relate to some of that, or maybe don't. For me, I am really, really bad about asking for what I need. I've had that confirmed by many people. but I had a neighbor one time, his name was Brett. He was just an amazing guy. And here's what I loved about Brett. I could ask him, hey, Brett, I'm in trouble here. Come on over. And one time I had this file cabinet that weighed a ton. It was wood, and we had to get it down to our downstairs. We about smashed each other a couple times. It was pretty bad. And we got all done. Brett looks at me and says, you owe me. And I love that, because what Brett understood was, if I give it to him, then he was just looking for something to call me back on, right? I think I still won on most of the cases. But at least I knew it was easier, because it's an agreement, it's a mutual exchange. But asking him, even with that, to call up and ask him, it was really hard for me. You know, I've found myself in places. Debbie, my wife, tells me, and is frustrated sometimes. We've been married a long time, 40 years or so. 40 years, she says this, David, why don't you tell me what you really need? And I think, she just doesn't understand marriage, does she? I mean, if you're married, you don't have to do that anymore, right? Oh, maybe she's right. But anyway, so the reality of it is that she asked me, like, what do you need? Why don't you tell me what you need? Right? And I think, well, okay. And so I realize that it's so difficult for me. Now, if I get really desperate, I mean really desperate, I will ask people for help. Like one time I had a car that had an intermittent thing where it wouldn't start and the battery would run down. And I couldn't figure it out, but it just happened at these random times. So I had a pair of jumper cables. And if you need help on this, for those people who don't really like to ask, here's how you do it. You turn your car around and you open the hood. And then you look, you have the jumper cables all set up. So all you have to do is put them there, and you have them laying there. And then you act really distraught and confused. This is what you do. And I'm telling you, I hate to say it, but that's what I do. And then someone, poor soul, says, do you need some help? And you jump on it. And you say, could you just pull your car up there? And you inconvenience it as little as possible. You jump your car and you go. And what would always happen to me, no one would stop. It was just like a God moment. Like, you want to, well, I'm going to teach you about asking. Like, no. So I had to go ask some guy, would you help me? Oh, it was horrible. Now, there are things I've asked for. I thought, when have I really been able to ask for things? Ask directly. And I started thinking about it. It was when I was younger. But my parents tell me this. This is wild. That I used to poop my pants, and all I do is scream, and they come take care of me. And I thought, really? Yeah. And when I was hungry, I just screamed, and they kept tearing me, nicely came, took care of me, right? I just asked for whatever I wanted, right? And they took care of me. Now, the thing is, you'd be glad to know I'm not pooping my pants anymore. And you'll be glad to know that I'm feeding myself. And my parents are very glad. We're very glad for that, because now I was becoming independent. And we all understand the maturity, according to our normal standard, is independence. And here comes the problem. When you believe that maturity is independence and self-sufficiency, then what you're thinking all the time is, as you grow healthier, you will need less and you can be more self-sufficient. And the hard thing about that, it's a lie. Your needs change, but you will always need. In fact, the whole goal of Jesus is to have us to a place that we grow in dependency upon God. And we grow in interdependency on one another, the body of Christ. Maturity is growing more dependent. And dependency, guess what? It means you have needs, and it means you ask for those things. Now, so as we think about that, understand that, as this question, to put it in the God term of that same question, is how easy is it for you to ask God for what you need? And then what keeps you from that? How easy is that? Now, we're going to be talking in a second about a parable. But before we get into that, I want to kind of say a few things about this broader thing of prayer. You know, Jesus talked so much about prayer, and then he actually taught all about prayer. I mean, you just read the scripture, how much he talks about prayer and how much he prays. I mean, it's all the time. And as we think about Jesus, this is who Jesus is. Jesus, who is perfect, was always asking for help. Ever think about that? He was going off to his father because he needed to. Right? And then he encouraged us to do the same. I mean, think about that. Even in the garden, before the crucifixion, he was being raw and honest with his father, saying, hey, if there's any other way, that's what I want. But what I want above all is your will above my own. He was asking to the very last. We see that the scripture says that God's ear is attentive to our prayer. He's listening. He's waiting for us to come to him. It tells us that God's this amazing God who's holy, and he's like on the throne. So it says, come into the throne room, just bust in like a kid with confidence. It tells us, hey, that's how we should approach God. Just come in and just tell him what you need. It says that, you know why you don't have what you want? You're not asking for it. Now, we're going to be looking in Luke 11, 5 through 10, and it's this parable about this person who went over to a friend in the middle of the night and asked for some bread. Most of you know this parable, but this person was tremendously audacious. And what's interesting about the parable is that Jesus says, that's what I want. I want you to be audacious in how you ask. Now, to put this in context, because again, context makes a lot, especially in parables now, because what you see before and after doesn't always apply, but in this particular case, what you see before this parable and what you see after this parable directly applies, and it's a conversation where they're asking Jesus, how do I pray? And he's explaining and teaching them on prayer. So this is really important. So it starts out with the Lord's Prayer. Teach me how to pray. By the way, this is the only time that they ever asked Jesus to teach them something. They were being taught a lot, but they directly said, I think they're like us. This one is a hard one. Teach me how you do this. I've watched you pray. I want to pray like you do. And so he taught them, and this is the radical thing about the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to go into all the details, but the radical thing about the Lord's Prayer is when it says, you address God as Father. At that time, that was unheard of. It was radical that you would address the God Yahweh as Father. So that in itself was like a whole different paradigm shift as they're trying to learn this. And then they talk about this place of yielding to the Father and welcoming his will above all else. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then he goes into this place of asking, and then he goes through the whole Lord's Prayer. Then he goes into this parable, and then guess what after this? He uses this example of fathers who are evil, like us. We're flawed. We know how to good gifts to our children. So, you know, when my kids ask me for something good, I don't throw them a snake. You know, it's like, I'm hungry, here's a snake. You know, I've asked for something good and they throw me, that's not right. And the contrast there is saying, don't you understand that God is a father and he will always give you good things when you begin asking. So understanding that in context, let's go through this parable and just imagine listening to this. And again, a parable, it's important to understand, like we said before, when you're reading a parable, it's not an allegory, it's a parable. So it may be speaking even of someone who's, the parable may be about an evil person and all these things, and you don't allegorize where you say, oh, that means this is Jesus, this, that, and that. It's getting across one primary point that Jesus is saying, contrasting oftentimes something of the world to who God is. And so he's speaking of what the kingdom is, and so he talks about this in Luke 5, 1 through 10. Luke 11, 5, 1 through 10 says, Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and you say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. Suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. That's the end of the parable. And then he goes on to say, in light of that, he says this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." All right? Now, this is an interesting story because this is a person who has a need. It's in the middle of the night, and it's midnight. Now, you have to understand, our midnight's like 2 hours after we go to sleep, or we're not even in a REM movement, or we just have an hour. This is like, for us, 3 a.m. You're in a dead sleep, right? And you got your kids probably in the bed with you at that time, or at least within the same room, and they're all down, and the door's locked, you're secure, you're in a dead sleep. You guys ever woken out of a dead sleep? It's an interesting world. You're just trying to figure out. This person's being bump, 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 knocking, and he says, "What do you want?" Right? And what's interesting is that the main point is just simply in verse 8. It brings it right out. "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." And basically contrasting, if a person who gets woken up and is angry in the middle of midnight, this works, you realize, this is something I want you to be. I want you to be, and the terms there can be, other translation may say sheer persistence. Just, and we look in Luke 18, you would look there later, don't look turn there now necessarily, but you want to go there, there's in Luke 18, 1 through 8, it's really talking about prayer again. And it starts out by says, "I want to tell you this parable so you will pray and never give up." Okay, that's why he's saying it. I want you to pray and keep praying. And he goes in, and this one, you guys are familiar with this parable. It's basically a widow who has an unrighteous judge that she pesters until this judge gives her justice. And he doesn't do it because he's righteous. He doesn't care if he gives her justice. But because she was so persistent, she says, "I'll give you because you're bothering me," right? And he's saying, if an unrighteous judge responds to persistently asking, what it would be to be a God who loves you, who is a righteous judge and a perfect father, right? So this weird thing is that Jesus encourages this shameless, audacious request. So what does that mean? Doesn't that sound kind of weird? Why would he want that? Now, what you have to understand is this is in the context of God is this beautifully relational God that is a father that wants us to share everything with him, who is in need, and just we're kids. And he's basically saying, I love it when you don't hide what you need from me. I love it when you come to me and say, I need this. This is who Jesus is. Asking, here's the reason it's hard. It's really personal. Do you know when you ask, it's super vulnerable, right? If you're ready to ask someone for something you need, is it really fun? It's vulnerable because you're entrusting that response to that person, right? Have you noticed on prayer, if you go and look on books on prayer, you'll see these things. This is the formula, basically, for the amazing prayer life you can have. Steps 1, 2, and 3. This is this new way of praying that really gets God's attention and things happen for you. I'm not saying these are all bad. I'm just saying is we have a tendency of reducing prayer to a formula that brings results. It's just very natural. And I used to think, oh, that's terrible that people do that. You know, I just kind of thought it was stupid, right? Or, you know, you've heard a million times that God is not a vending machine. Why would we want him to be a vending machine? Why are we coming up with these things, right? Like, hey, I know my theology's wrong, but I really want him to be a vending machine. No, we don't want him to be a vending machine, but we kind of do want him to be a vending machine. You know why? Because it takes out the risk. the vulnerability and the trust. When you ask someone that you care about, that you love, I need help, you're in a really place of trust and vulnerability, right? And so when we ask, oftentimes, if we get really honest, we understand why Jesus seems to say a lot of things over and over. When Jesus says a lot of things over and over, it's usually because we need to hear them over and over. If Jesus says something about it's not this, it's because we probably think it is that. And what he says over and over is God listens to your prayer and loves it when you come to him in prayer, over and over. And the second thing he says is God is good. And no matter what you ask him, you'll end up with something good. So just ask, 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 right? So what I believe is some of my biggest blocks to asking is this place that I'm afraid that he's not listening at the deepest level. And I say probably even more than that, because I know he's listening, I think, for me. I think some other people, that may be more of their struggle. But my bigger struggle is, if I really ask him, is it going to be good? Can I always expect something good no matter what I ask him? Will he hear me and will he respond? And I would tell you outright out, I don't believe that. But quite honestly, in my heart level, there's something there because it's a vulnerable place to ask for what you really need. Asking is a very relational part of our relationship with God. We grow and we mature when we're a child who asks for lots of things. That's a healthy child. A healthy child, if you got a child that asks you for lots of things, I mean, not whining, demanding them, but asking, hey, about that? Can I have that? Can I have that? They learn a lot. Sometimes no, but oftentimes you want to give them anything good when they ask. And so there's this place in which that we grow when we do these things. This audacious persistence is life-giving. Now, if your audacious persistence is towards a vending machine, you give up. You just write it off. You dismiss it. You close your heart back down. But if it's a relationship, it does something completely different. It begins allowing you to be who you truly are, not hiding anything from your Heavenly Father, and even audaciously saying, I want this. I need this. That's a good, healthy person. Now, you know, I think that for us, I think the first thing is just to recognizing this is the Jesus that we have. This is the God that we have that wants us to be fully who we are and asking anything we desire. That is an amazing Father, that we have that kind of Jesus, that he wants us to just say everything on our heart and ask him without any holding back. That's amazing. The freedom in that. And to know that when we do that, actually good things come out of that is amazing to understand about Jesus. And so for me, this place of Jesus, shameless and audacious asking comes from first being aware, this is a big one, your needs are above what you can provide. If you understand that, life goes a lot better. If you think self-sufficiency is your goal, life's not going to go well. But if you understand that there's never a time on this earth that you will not have clear need for God at a deep level that you need to ask him to help you in those needs, that's a really good place to be. And it comes from being confident that the provider has the ability and provision, right? Think about these parables, both of them, or just think about the one we just talked about with the friend going for bread. The first thing is, what they were very clear on is, I got a need. That's what started this thing. And I can't provide for that need. And then what they do, they go to somebody they know, that guy has bread in this house. And I know he can get up, and I know he can bring it to me, right? And so understanding that God is can provide for you because he has what you need is crucial. And then being secure in your relationship with the provider, right? This is the amazing thing, is that asking boldly directly correlates with your security of that you're beloved by the person you're asking. Intimacy always gives you freedom to share more of what you need and boldly say that. And then what they were is they were, so they understood this provider, I want to get this out of this person. I mean, they understood that there's this relationship that's there. Now look at the audacious persistence. I find those words to be very freeing. There's never a time in Scripture that this word that we're translating, audacious persistence, it's never been translated positively in the Bible. And Jesus is using it positively. That gives you a lot of freedom. Like, go for it, man. Ask me for whatever you want. So let's go through this invitation. And worship team, don't come up quite yet. We're gonna do the first part of this invitation right now, and then after that you guys can come up. But what I'd like us to do on the invitation is I'd like us to start practicing some audacious asking, right? And I want us to look at this very first part of moving yourself towards Jesus, spend some time with Jesus, getting in touch with your needs and desires, and start asking him specifically for those things. And so we're gonna have you have a little bit of time here, just about a minute, to pray and ask him to show you what you need. Okay? And he may show you a couple things. Just pay attention to the one that seems to be the most prevalent. Okay? Let's just have just a little bit of time here. Kind of keep an eye on the clock. You guys can just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, you see us. You even say you know what we need before we ask, but there's this thing about us engaging that brings this place of you releasing the things that you have for us. And so, God, we say, show us the thing that we need. God, give us your ability to show us what is it that we need right now. Now, right now, go to him as a child would go to their father and ask him very specifically for what you want right now. So God, I pray that you'll keep. I mean, the thing I love about this parable, it's this persistence. It's this place in which that we don't throw it at you and then run away. We keep it before you and we begin talking to you about it and telling you this is what we want. And we want to be honest and not pretend like we don't. well, we don't want that. We really do want it. And we don't want to have to hide that from you. And we want to ask you for it. You have the power to do this. And God, we ask you, would you do that right now? God, would you give us a place that we stay in that and we say yes? And would you make us a church that has these particular things we just pray for? We just don't let go of it. We say, no, I'm going to pray this. I'm not going to not be who I am before my Father. I'm going to always ask him. I'm going to say, yes, I want this. And not feel funny about it, to know that you welcome that kind of prayer, that bold, audacious prayer that doesn't dilute it, but just shares it, this is where I'm at. I want that, God, and ask you for that. And then I'm just going to close up. You can keep your eyes closed if you want to. Just pay attention to the people around you this week, too. At Thanksgiving, your family, people you might have come to your mind. And be asking God, how could I pray for this person? What does this person need? Sometimes that's actually a great way of getting started because we recognize, okay, I can do that for someone else. But do it for yourself, but also do it for someone around you. And begin saying, start praying for somebody that you know they need this, and they just start praying. And just don't give up. Keep praying.